Hello. Welcome to this. Just a little small taster on Everybody's Got One. We are doing, I have a mystery person with me. Say hello, mystery person.
Hello.
Hello.
There you go. Mystery person, sinister.
Non-sinister.
It's going to be called The Conspiracy Chronicles, and it's just me on this episode, on these episodes, with my mystery person. Can you hear them birds there in the background? It's like all sinister and mystery. So we're just going to, what sort of topics are we going to discuss? And I'm not a believer in, well, you know me, I go to church, I believe in God, I have faith. But I'm open to suggestion.
Yeah.
I believe Liverpool are going to win the league today.
Okay.
Well, the whole of Liverpool does. I put a thing out
that
on
there. It could be a belief or a fallacy. We'll learn that.
We'll
later.
Know by 5 o'clock tonight. Oh, yeah, it's up my arse. So, mystery man. Man from another realm of this universe.
I like it.
It's got to be maybe 5 or 6. We might even get... This might become a regular thing within where we sit down and meet.
I need to get paid after about 3, though.
No, Siggies. I'll pay you in with Siggies. Okay. But are Siggies real?
No.
Okay. So what sort of topics are we going to be covering?
Well, the main one I'm interested in is the shape of the Earth, basically.
Well, the shape of the Earth, right. Yeah. Very briefly.
But a lot of things come as a sort of tentacle from that, I would say.
Okay.
The moon landing, space.
Well, the moon is in space.
Well,
so many thousand miles from Earth.
People say outer space, but I don't believe that outer space exists. So, therefore, that links into organisations like NASA.
See? Oh, tentacles, you were right.
Disney. Which I know you...
Well, we're going to do a special episode on Disney.
We're going to do a special one on Disney, okay.
But this is linked to the Flat Earth suggestion.
Yeah.
So, what else comes from?
Well, evolution. The theory of evolution, because it is only a theory. It's never been scientifically proven by anybody.
But there is evidence...
Well, there's observe and declare evidence or just so stories. There's nothing that's actually empirically proven.
There's dinosaurs.
Well, yes, but show me a real dinosaur bone anywhere in the world and I might believe you. So
There must be.
I thought that, but then I looked into it and realised that everything was a cast. Every single dinosaur bone in every museum in the world is a cast.
So are you saying dinosaurs potentially didn't exist?
Well, I have no proof of it, and nobody's provided anybody with that proof. So therefore, because I don't hold, let's say, beliefs, I like to have things that I understand verified by many sources before I would say... even get close to having a belief. And I was never into space as a kid. I was never really... I had a couple of Star Wars figures. I wasn't baffled. I wasn't, you know, amazed by space. And, you know, at school, I remember getting chucked out of a class for asking questions in science that couldn't be answered by the teacher. You know, I always had reservations. I'm a bit cynical, even though I've got quite a high IQ. I wasn't interested in learning at school because I just thought... you're giving me one side of a story that I have to, you know, go over and over and over, and then you're going to test me at the end to see whether I've, you know, regurgitated this story well enough. And, you know, as a consequence, I never did that well in school because I just thought or felt that it was just a load of rubbish. Sorry.
You can't swear,
excuse
on it.
Excuse the French.
You are quite fluent in French there, because bollocks is...
Yeah,
the,
okay. that's something I've learned today.
So I'm looking at two aeroplanes there behind us now, flying in the same direction.
Yeah.
Right. So they're flying...
They're going at 500 miles an hour.
Yeah, around the Earth.
Okay, well, that's your belief.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you look out of an aeroplane window, you can almost see the curvature of...
the Earth.
Yeah.
Through a fisheye window, through a curved viewing point. So if you go in an aeroplane, next time you're on a flight, just go to the back of the plane and have a look out the fire exit window, which is a flat window.
Okay.
And then tell me, does it look the same as what the other windows look?
So pilots, theirs aren't convex windows. They must be...
No, they're totally flat windows.
Totally flat windows. So they must know...
Oh, no, sorry, their windows are convex, yeah, because they bend around. So they have some form of convecture to them. They're not totally straight, not totally flat, but the fire escape window or the emergency escape window at the back where all the the staff congregate, shall we say, that has no curvature to it whatsoever.
So are clouds real?
Clouds are absolutely real, yeah.
So
some people say that some of the clouds we observe are due to geoengineering. And planes, chemtrails, you've probably heard of these.
I've heard of chemtrails.
Yeah.
I don't see what purpose chemtrails serve. I don't see the point.
I don't either, but people have done tests whereby metals are found on their windscreens and stuff like that, where, you know, actual, man-made metals.
Well, that could just be from diesel engines, maybe.
Absolutely, it could, yeah, absolutely. But there's also footage of passenger aircraft with clear evidence of aerosols spraying something into the atmosphere, not just... the fumes from the engine.
You can control the weather to a degree, can't you? So,
well, they can. They
for a big event, maybe.
They say that most of our weather is controlled.
I don't know how they do that. I did have a book on it, and it was too in depth for me. About what is it where they fire into the? They fire straight up. It does control the weather, though.
Yeah. Geoengineering is classed as this. That's a subject I'm not very versed in, to be honest with you.
So we've so got...
I couldn't say either way whether chemtrails exist or not, because it's never been, again, scientifically proven.
So if the Earth is flat, right, then the moon...
Just go back to the aeroplanes, because...
Okay, go on.
We kind of stopped on
that. Yeah, okay. I go all over the place. You'll learn that from me. I bounce everywhere.
No, that's fine. But I also know that you travel a fair bit on an aeroplane. Yeah. So
my carbon footprint is the size of an elephant's head.
Exactly. Don't worry about it, because all that theory is a load of crap. The Earth's actually cooling down rather than warming up. So, don't worry about your carbon footprint. This Earth that we live on is designed to withstand various temperature and molecular changes as we go. So, you don't worry about your carbon footprint. You're led to believe that you should worry about your carbon footprint.
But we're on the verge of, is it the fourth mass extinction?
Well, it depends who you believe on that, because there's no evidence to suggest that at all. But if you feel that, then one of the things you're not going to do is rush out and have children, increase your family, plan for the future too much.
I've got a bloody pension there.
Yeah, you're going to be in a state of, worry and panic, aren't you, really?
Digging a bunker?
Well, yeah, people do it, don't they? You get all these preppers that sort of gather big packets of food and drink.
So
and
go
all
on,
the
back
rest
to let's go back to planes.
Back to planes, yeah. So one of the first things that got me into the flat earth theory was planes and how plane travel works, and people say, circumnavigate the globe and like that. Now, you can circumnavigate a circle the same way you can circumnavigate a ball, because you can just go round the outside of it.
Yeah, but surely you've got the left lock on all the way to go round the... If the Earth's flat, so I've seen the maps, I've looked at the maps, so you can go round the world on a flat Earth.
Of course, yeah.
But you've got to have your left lock on. Surely.
Well, yeah, I suppose you do. You're always sort of banking, I suppose, if you do that. But the theory is, and if you actually look at official flight paths, you'll never ever see circumnavigation. They're just straight destination routes, straight to there, straight. Sometimes they'll do a stop off, or you'll see a flight path do a full right turn or something like that. And that's to make you believe that you're actually going round a spinning ball, rather than actually just going on a straight path to your destination. So again, back to airplanes, one of the first things that got me thinking was, if the Earth is spinning east to west at 1,000 miles an hour and the plane is traveling at 500 miles an hour, then if you're traveling against the spin of the Earth, you would need to be going 1,500 miles an hour to be maintaining any sort of speed. And therefore, on the flip side, you'd have to be going minus 1,000 miles an hour. You'd have to have the brakes on all the time, literally, because, you know, the spinning of the Earth, they say that the plane is out of the atmosphere. Now, one of the arguments is, oh, no, the plane sticks to the Earth's atmosphere. Well, that's all well and good until you get to the bottom of the ball, in which case the plane would be upside down if it's sticking to the atmosphere.
So, just to get, because again, figures and stuff I'm rubbish with. So, planes generally 30,000 feet?
30 to 35,000 feet.
So that is 30, how many miles up?
That is,
or kilometres. That's 30 kilometres, isn't it?
20 miles up.
Right. So how far? How much space? Before you're into space,
yeah.
What we're told,
yeah.
Is space.
Well, one of the things, I mean, everything I say can be looked up and everybody can do their own research. I didn't say I know what I know from research, but I've learned what I know from research, and everything that I say can be looked up. So,
yeah.
You know, there's been hot, high altitude weather balloons that have gone up and up and up and up.
Yeah,
And they're also sort of rockets that people own themselves that are not tied in with NASA or any other space agency. And the farthest they've actually ever gone is 120,000 feet. Which is, what, 80 miles? Something
right.
Like that, 80 miles. So nobody, as far as I know, is...
So if you go 80 miles up, you know whether you're above a globe or above a flat Earth,
well,
surely?
Well, they say so, but this guy they put forward as the bastion of science, this Neil deGrasse Tyson, said that even at 120,000 feet, you had that Felix Baumgart doing the, you know, the space jump and all the rest of it. And just as a side thing to that, the footage shows, they've literally curved the footage. So you see his capsule and you see the ropes actually going in a curved motion. But they, for a split second, showed the horizon as he was departing his capsule, and it's absolutely flat. So even though they put like an image on the picture itself to try and prove curvature, they slip up a bit because for a millisecond or a second.
So he did go up. That wasn't staged.
No. He did go up. Yeah. But it, again, on the basis of that, what would have happened is if he jumped there and the Earth is going at 1,000 miles an hour. How far away from his landing point is he actually going to land if the Earth spinning underneath him?
Well, you must have worked that into a factored
well,
it in.
Well, he did work it out, but literally it worked out at the end that only wind assisted his momentum.
It's that, I mean, you burnt me head out yesterday with the helicopter situation.
Yeah.
So if I take off in a helicopter and hover 100 feet above the Earth for 10 hours, I shouldn't be landing.
Yeah.
So if I these houses here, if I went up and just floated in a little tiny helicopter or a drone maybe for an hour, at some point that house should hit me.
Exactly.
So what stops that?
Exactly. Well, they say,
because you know, is that gyroscopes and stuff within there?
The Coriolis effect is what they claim is happening there, and that again is about things sticking to the atmosphere of the Earth, the globe, the spinning ball, whatever you want to call it. And I just think that's absolute rubbish, because there's, you can say that, but there's so many reasons as to why that theory doesn't exist.
So,
if the Coriolis effect existed for a start, you'd have the likes of snipers who have to fire up to 2 miles at any one time, taking the spin of the Earth into account. And you look at any military sniper manual, doesn't mention Coriolis effect. I've heard of guys that have, you know, operated tanks and all the rest of it. Not in none of their training manuals, they don't take into account any spin of the Earth when they're firing trajectories.
Now, hopefully, again, I don't know what I'm talking about. So all the answers are out there for
absolutely
me to counteract.
I'm not saying
everything you're
everything,
saying.
Everything that I say is absolutely 100%.
I think I'll have listeners now screaming.
Quite possibly, yeah.
And
I mean,
now,
it's exactly the reaction I get when I talk to family members, friends or whatever. And, you know, I'm not really bothered by that, to be honest with you. I feel much more comfortable with the things that I've learned rather than being puzzled for most of
so,
my life about how things worked.
We'll wind this up for today.
Yeah.
So this is just a little brief.
Okay.
So we're going to go deeper
before people, but I know what a lot of people, your listeners, are going to say to a lot of it. They're going to use the word gravity.
Gravity
is only a theory, and it's never been scientifically proven.
I think it has.
It hasn't.
It's got to have.
I promise you, it hasn't.
Isaac Newton, apple fell on his head, and then he did a load of sums.
And what?
And that's where gravity...
Isaac Newton and Einstein were both members of the Freemasonry, both members of the hierarchy, if you like. They are proven pseudoscientists, and if you want to look up the meaning for pseudoscience, it's just basically observe and declare.
So
there's no empirical scientific testing or experimentation done at all.
And this is all these little tentacles
because
are coming off.
They fire gravity at you because you think, how does water stick to a spinning ball? That was one of my first thoughts. You know, I've seen a wet tennis ball and I've seen water just fly off it like
mad. Yeah, but that hasn't got a core and a mass and...
Well, how do you know that the Earth's got a core? Because I've only ever been down 7 or 8 miles, I think, is the longest. 11 kilometres.
This is like Downton Thomas. It can't be real until I've seen it.
Well, exactly. But, I mean, the proven science with that theory is density. Density and buoyancy, though. Density of the medium... or density of the matter within the medium. And you can see that if you get a test tube and you put various things in it, car oil, cooking oil, water, vinegar, you put all of these different densities into a test tube, they'll find their own equilibrium, and you'll see them moving around. One will go down, one will go up, and all the rest of it. Now, to me, that is exactly what gravity has been hijacked from, because there's no scientific evidence of gravity, but there is scientific evidence and visual evidence of density and buoyancy. I think they've used that theory and just hijacked it and taken it as gravity. And I, to be honest with you, a lot of the unexplained things about the spinning space rock that we're supposedly on are just, it's gravity. But when something has not been scientifically proven as being an actual phenomenon, why are you supposed to believe that? I don't believe what people say, and especially if they're involved in secret societies. I mean, there's a reason why they're secret, isn't it?
So from this, we're going to deep dive Flat Earth.
Yeah.
We're going to deep dive the Masons, Freemasons.
Yeah.
We're going to deep dive... What else have we said? Because all these tentacles.
Well, the death hoaxes, I call it.
Death hoaxes, yeah.
A symbolic sort of, ceremonial martyring of... false idols, I call it. People that you're sort of you're meant to praise and wonder everything they do, and then they die at 27 or 33. You know, you look at the numerology, and important numerology that the Masons and the Knights Templar and the secret societies hold, and then you look at the age in which some of these idols have supposedly left this flat plane. But then there's theories that these people come back, get reincarnated. They use the Jesus storyline, and they use it often because they know it resonates with people and it hits heartstrings.
So we're going to do Disney.
We'll do Disney, yeah, and his links with NASA, who are known, you know, Nazi scientists. You know, the one thing that always puzzled me is you win a war against another country and then you go and employ their scientists. Well, you know, to me, that means that they were in cahoots. They were friends even during the war. So was the war a man-made thing? Was it, you know, reduce the population? Because you look at the Georgia Guidestones, they say that the Earth is overpopulated and the ideal amount of people on the Earth should be 500 million. They say there's 6 billion, but again, that's unproven. It's supposedly a lot less than that.
Well, they do say the... populations of individual countries are dropping.
Yeah. Well, that
you must be rising
that
somewhere.
Is purely through to eugenics and the control population. You can control the population by what you put in their mind, because, you know, if everybody's walking on eggshells around, you're not going to look too far into the future. You're going to think, and I thought it as well, I don't want to bring a kid into this world with everything that's going on. And the whole sort of idea of eugenics and population reduction is so that the resources are kept for the bigwigs and they're not shared out between everybody else. And it's just, it's greed. It's all down to, old ancient texts and beliefs, from ancient Egypt and Greece and things like that. And these are just literally brought to us now through secret societies, but they haven't changed. They're all involved with, the Sir Francis Bacon was the man that rewrote all the popular Bibles. You know, the Bible is the King James Bible, and that was written upon the request of the English crown during the Reformation. So, you know, all of these things tie into just sneaky things, you know. And so literally now,
The winners only, the winners are the ones that write history.
Exactly, history belongs to the winners, yeah.
Right, well, we're going to stop it here.
Yeah.
Now, I normally end with Cue the Music.
Yeah.
And we have a boss song written by my boss,
okay.
Brian Marriott, cracking fella.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I do say so myself,
right.
It needs something a bit more sinister, I think. So if there's any listeners out there who want to compose a little short 2-minute piece of eerie, spooky, otherworldly.
Well, there's a good song that you probably don't know, but by a guy called ODD Reality. And it's spacemen didn't find the frontier because it was made in a Hollywood basement.
That is a long title.
Yeah, well, it's not the title of the song, but that's the key chorus. And it's absolutely true. The moon landing was filmed in a Hollywood basement by Stanley Kubrick.
I am so excited.
Here's two things
Go on.
To think of as I leave, because...
On a cloud,
yeah. I've won this one already. No, I'm joking. But basically, two astronauts have drowned during training. Astronaut training, yeah. Astronauts have drowned. Now, they say that all the footage is made in a swimming pool. Listen to the excuses they came as to why these two astronauts drowned. One drowned on his own saliva.
When did he drown?
I don't know the exact dates and timelines, but two astronauts officially died. One drowned on his own saliva and the other one drowned on his own sweat.
That could happen. You all right, Jen?
No, I'm just not getting any sleep.
Oh, why? So, stay tuned. There's going to be more coming, isn't there? Man of Mystery.
Yes, there is, yeah.
Hopefully we'll have a spooky song. I think we'll probably just have our usual song on this one. So, you can say the immortal words, I'll let you.
Immortal words, just stay tuned. There'll be some things you...
Well, I always say cue the music, but just a little phrase, and when you say it, bang, the music will start.
Okay, so free your mind of indoctrination and just be open-minded.
That's dead long now, but so you're going to have to say that now at the end of every episode?
That's fine, yeah.
Okay, so, right, go ahead.
Free your mind from indoctrination...
Have another bit and you can just smiling on the other side. Smiling on the other side. Climbing over big hills, taking small steps. The grass is always greener, looking over in the distance. Crossing bridges that are only in your mind. I'm keeping it together.
This podcast is part of the After Dark Podcast Network.